Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
These are the kind of things that we're believing God for you, and wherever you are, it's a fine place to be. You're in the middle of God's will, whether you're in the valley or you're on the mountaintop. God knows where you are, and we want to gather around you as a church family and support you in your mission and your dreams and in your deepest desires. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this testimony, and Lord, it's good to be with you. It's so good to be in your will, in your kingdom, in your family, in your purpose, on your mission. Lord, it's good as a church that we can accept and bring in people wherever they are in life, and we just thank you, God, that everyone is so important. This church is about people. Lord, it's about lives. It's about your kingdom. We pray today, let your kingdom come, your will be done, in all of our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start out this morning. We've been in a long series, and we're still in that series, but we've already come into the New Testament, and I want to just talk basically on a New Year's a brief message I'm going to do to where we've been this morning with that testimony really having the prominent place that it should have had. I'm going to be brief this morning in my comments. Those are famous last words from preachers, you know. Brief is, you know, a minute with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So it could be, that's a scripture verse, by the way. So it could be a little bit, but I'm going to try to just be brief on this because this is important. But there's some things that when we get to a new year, you know, everybody's making New Year's resolutions. They're writing out their goals, their plans, their dreams. I know that I have 12 things that I'm focused on this year, and I wrote my 12 things down, and it's very important to me. But let me just remind you that hope is not a strategy. It's not a strategy. You have to have more than that. And so I'm going to talk about four areas that I think are really important to all of us here, and in particular in this city, in this community context, that we need to turn towards in this new year. And the first is a turn towards God, turning towards God. Let me read a passage of scripture here in Hosea chapter 6, 1 through, I'd like to include verse 3 if we could, but it says in Hosea 6, this is somewhat really ties into Pastor Shino's life. Come, in verse 1, come, if back up please, if we could please, if I could see that. Are we not getting in I'll just read it. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, let me let this settle in, let this ring a bell here, but on the third day, he will raise us up. God is the God of the first and second day, but he's also the God of the third day of raising us up, that we may live before him. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, let us know and let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn, and he will come to us as the showers and the spring rains that water the earth. These are promises from God that even though we've been through being ripped apart and knocked down, God is the God who will raise us back up, and then he says that he will come to us. God is not as far away from you as you may think that he is. God is coming near to you, and God is going to raise us up. This is a promise. Now, it's not only a promise in this context to the unfaithful that the book of Hosea is describing, the unfaithful. And it's a lot of darkness that it's describing in the book of Hosea. But he's also saying to the faithful to turn to God. The message of Hosea is to the lost and the outcast and the unfaithful. He uses the word harlotry, but also you can see in Scripture that God is continually talking to the faithful to turn to God, because if we neglect to turn to God when everything's going well for us, then we begin to drift away from God just like the unfaithful. And it's happened to me. And it happened to somebody quite famous. His name is Peter. And Peter, even before he denied Christ, Jesus looked at him and he foretold to Peter that he would one day deny Jesus with these words. And Jesus said to Peter, he turned to him and he said, Satan, Peter, has demanded to have you. Satan wants to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But, everybody say, but. Jesus said, I prayed for you. I want you to know right now that Jesus is on the throne as a loving and a caring intercessor who has prayed for you also. You may not see that. You may say, oh, that was just for Peter back then. No, that's for you right here and right now, because it says in the book of Hebrews that he's an intercessor for us. And he's prayed for Peter. He prays for you that your faith, of all the things that Jesus could have said, I'm praying for you that you would have a good wife. I'm praying for you that you would have a good life. I'm praying for you that you have a good job. Here's the one thing, and I believe this is for us today. I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. That your faith, you know, your faith is more important than what's in your wallet, Samuel Jackson. Your faith is more important than what's in your refrigerator. Your faith is more important than who's in your life. Your faith in God is number one and cannot be failed, and it cannot be forsaken, and it cannot be denied, because your faith in God has power. And he says that when you go through this, he said, you're going to turn and you're going to strengthen your brothers. You're going to strengthen them, which he did. Peter did it beautifully. The greatest lie that exists is the character assassination against God, that God is distant, uncaring, distracted, disinterested, impotent, and doesn't really care about you. That's the greatest thing of all. Your sin and your shame and your distance from God is not greater than Jesus coming to you in the form of a person, a baby, who came and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. And what happened at the cross is always greater than what happened in the Garden of Eden. And it's always greater. What happened at the cross is always greater than what we do that is not consistent with the plan of God for our lives. That encourages me. That gives me hope that the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, is greater than my failures and mistakes. Greater than. Maybe you don't have this problem. I have it, and I'm thankful every day of my life that Jesus consistently reminds me that his blood is sufficient, and what he did at the cross is greater than all that I've done in my life. It's so awesome. I had a time with a woman on a plane 2 days ago. Her name is Charlene. And Charlene was on the plane, and I was sitting across from her, and she shared the most amazing story. I don't guess we can... sorry for the technical difficulties today. I'm sorry. This is the first day of the year. We have a few of these difficulties. That's okay. We're going to get it right. It's okay. We'll get through this. But Charlene, beautiful African-American gal, and turns out she and I were able to share our stories. I found out that she's going to medical school. She's been on staff formerly with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and she's a great woman of God. And she shared her. I said, tell me your story. And little did I know, it wasn't a two-minute thing. It was like 30 minutes. That when she was 2 years old, her mother died. And her father raised her without her mother, but her father was always bitter against God. And her entire life, he raised her and he said these words. He said, because God has let us down, you can't be a Christian. You can be a Hindu, you can be a Buddhist, you can be an atheist, you can be whatever, but you cannot be a Christian because God doesn't answer our prayers. Can you imagine that in her life? At age 16, she went to University of Virginia. At age 16, because she was really smart. And while at UVA, a freshman in college, she was surrounded by loving Christian people, and she began to wonder, why can I not do this? I had a talk with her father, and he said, I've already told you, that's the one thing you can't do. Well, little did he know that she was being drawn by God and put in a great community, and then she got before God, she prayed the sinner's prayer, and she received Jesus into her life. And she became born again, and that summer, she went to South Africa on a missions trip. Her father found out about it later. He thought it was some humanitarian thing, which it was. And he said, when you get home, I want to talk to you. She came home, and he met her at the door, and he said, you're going to either renounce your faith in Jesus, or you can never come in my home again. By this time, she was 17 years old. She broke down, and she cried. She said, I can't deny what God has done in my life. She slept on friends' couches, and She amazingly rebounded in that, has a good relationship with her father, has a good relationship with her twin brother. But remarkably, her life has moved on, and she's a very incredibly powerful, effective female minister in the gospel who can preach the gospel with great clarity and great boldness. It's an amazing story. And it reminds me that God is never distant, that God's will in your life, it's like this. It says in Song of Solomon that many waters cannot quench love. The love of God cannot be denied, no matter who is against you and who is rooting against you and who is telling you it can't happen. God has got a way to bring you through this storm and show himself faithful on your behalf. He's going to do that for you. Many of you are saying, I've heard this message before. I can't stand it again. I can't take it. It sounds sugar-coated. We are not sugarcoating anything. We're simply saying we must stand with truth and not the wave of discouragement, not the wave of denial, not the wave. We cannot deny God his rightful place in our lives, that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. That's who God is. And he's going to bring you through just like he did Miss Charlene. The second turn, to be brief, the second turn is a turn to family. And there's much to be said about this. But these seminars that are coming up, this event that we're having on February 29th, this relationship seminar with a PhD expert and scholar in relationships, Shanti Feldman, that's going to be an amazing save the date one. We have these things. We have the retreat that's going on Valentine's weekend. There are things that we're doing because we value family, and in particular, we value marriage. But we also value spiritual family, that if you don't have a spouse, there's nothing wrong with you, first of all. You're not a second-class citizen. You're not like one sneaker and looking for your other sneaker. That's not the way it is. It's better to be single than it is married to the wrong person at the wrong time in their life. It's better to hang on to God. It's better to be fruitful where you are. But this is where spiritual family is so important. Spiritual family is so amazing. It's so real. And we always have a family to turn to. But it's important that we connect. It's important that we know each other. It's important that we hear stories like we've heard today. And we ask people for their story. And we connect that way. Stories just bring us together like nothing else. And when I think about what's happening with social media and social technology and all that's happening, it really is actually working against us. And so this year, one of my 12 points is that with my family, this year, the dinner time moment is going to be our family moment, and we will have no technology at our table. Can anybody else just, you know, thank me for that? I mean, or just say, yes, we appreciate that. I mean, look, this is real to me. This is real to me. Let me show you this image of from a college campus, if it works. If this picture works, I'll be so happy. Let's see. Yes. This was a picture from a college campus just recently, a couple months ago. And it's like 100 yards of separation, and every person in this image is separated from another college student on their own little wall, on their own little space on this wall, and they're all looking at their smartphone. This is an image that gripped me so much because it is exactly the thing that's happening, and is my prayer, Father God, with all the things, and I'm getting influx. I'm getting WhatsApp. It's coming through Facebook. It's coming through Messenger. It's coming through text. It's coming through cell phone. It's coming to emails. My goodness, I used to think, man, I've got like 500 emails in there. Now, how did it happen that now it's got whatever the number is, 11,000 or 12,000 or 13,000? How does this happen? We have to live a smart life. We have to turn to God and then turn to those who are most important to us first. We can never let that go, or we're going to be so distracted and so pulled apart. And this is so important to me because I grew up in a broken family, and we never had these dinner times. I didn't have that role model. I didn't have that. But I value that. It's so important for me to laugh with my six-year-olds, to hear how their day went, to be surrounded by women all the time, to live in a house of estrogen, to be just constantly, you know, learning about things like Paw Patrol, Doc McStuffins. I can't even believe my life sometimes. But you know what? I value them, and so what's important to them is important to me. And I will fight for Doc McStuffins. I will indeed say that Paw Patrols is the next book of the Bible. I will indeed stay true to my calling. And just kidding, but these are what's important. I grew up with TV trays and TV. Did anybody remember the TV trays? There were TV dinners. That's what they were called. Does anybody remember that? T TV dinners. What's wrong with this world? That's where it all began. I'm going to sue them for creating something called a TV dinner. But really, so that's how we lived. And then my mother would buy TV trays so that you could have the tray to put on your meal on top of it and look at the TV. And you're glued to that little box, which is like an idol in everybody's living room. Why? Because it's right in the middle of the living room. And we gather around it. And so God is going to help me to keep technology out and keep Jesus in, at least on my dinner time conversations. 60 years ago, dinner time table talks were 90 minutes. 60 years ago. Now it's down to like 9 seconds of interaction or whatever the number is. It's outrageous. Lord, help us in this regard. Our third thing that, let me just mention this because it's so important that we remember that the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. And that was before there was sin. It's not good for Shino to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. And Pastor Shino was filling in the gap too for those 6-7 years. He was filling it in with the spiritual community and spiritual family. And that's what we must do. There's a myth out there that I just want to, you know, encourage people that when it comes to marriage, when it's your turn, when it's God's timing for you, it's going to happen. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to come in a worship service and kind of throw yourself around, be coy, be calm, be cool, be whatever. God's got a path. Now, it's not to say that we can't prepare for things or whatever. We should. We should walk with God to the point where he gives you a nudge. You should know what to do or whatever. But here's the myth. The myth was this, and it came out in Newsweek magazine in 1986, and it said these words: women over 40 years old with a university degree are more likely to be killed by a terrorist than to get married. That's a lie. 20 years later, Newsweek came out and apologized that it was false news. Don't you let the world define you or inform you. You be informed by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, and you will end up where God wants you to be, and you will enjoy to the degree that you can every single day of your life. And that's what God's promising. Thirdly, we want to turn to truth this year. Truth is love. When you look through the Gospel of John and the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see the truth comes out, that word truth comes out over and over and over again. So does the word love. Truth is coherent, and truth is corresponding to reality. It's not just some make-believe thing. It's not just some made-up thing. You've heard people say, oh, I have my truth. My truth is subjective. My truth is not necessarily reality. And we cannot, as believers in God and believers in the Word of God, we cannot let that escape, that truth is ultimately Jesus Christ, because he said these words. He said that you shall know the truth, which is knowing a true view of God, knowing that God is not this God that I'll just say it, that Satan is accusing and railing him. He is so mad and bitter against the living God because he was kicked out of heaven for being so arrogant and wanting to take God's place. We can't accept these things as reality that are lies, and truth is not corresponding to something that's made up. It's got to be coherent. It's got to be cohering. It's got to be consistent. Truth is truth. And Jesus said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you know the realities of God, realities of yourself that are realities, like I've sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, when we know that, and we know that the realities of salvation, I can't save myself, I've got to be saved from someone else. I've got to be saved through the redemption, the atonement, the finished work of Jesus. These are the things that make a difference in our lives. It's a reality. Jesus said, your word, Lord, is truth. Your word is truth. There's actually a place on the planet. It's called the Bureau of Weights, the International Bureau of Weights and Measures. It was created in 1875 so that there would be one solid place for objective reality of weights and measurements. For example, if you go to Whole Foods and you go through the salad bar and you have it on one plate and you come up to the checkout person and you put your plate up on their scale and they say, you owe me $75, you say, that can't be right. And they say, well, here it is. It says it right here. And then they say, you say, well, let me appeal to this scale. And the next scale says 85. And the next one says 95. You say, something's wrong with Whole Foods. There is a place of appeal. It's outside of Paris, France, and it is this Bureau of Weights and Measurements. That's the gold standard. And there is this objective reality called truth. And Jesus said, I fill that space. And he never said, I have a good idea for you. Or as Jesus said, you've heard it said from this interpreter and that translator and this person and that person. But he said, but I say unto you. Why? Because he has the authority of Scripture, because it came and proceeded from the mouth of God. And he was the oracle of God. And so truth is something we must persevere to know, to go after, to accept truth, because we can never be changed if we simply make up our own reality. We can't be changed. We must let others get in our lives and speak the truth in love, because truth and love belong together. The fourth thing that and the final thing that I'm submitting that we turn to this year is purpose. That we turn to purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plan that I have for you, or the purpose that I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Now, that's the overriding, overarching purpose of God for our lives. And that's where most Christians stop. But God says, no, I want to take this further, because I have a specific purpose that I've even planted and imprinted in your soul, perhaps even in your DNA, that it's there. That information is in you because God made you to align with a certain purpose. And that's a game changer. My wife's been helping people, as Elsa mentioned, my wife Lynette has been helping people to find their purpose for many, many decades now. And it's a game changer for those who don't really know specifically their purpose. It's a simple workshop. It's a half a day on January the 11th. And to me, it's incredibly important that if we are not sure about who we are, where we're going, what our purpose is, then my impression for you is run to that workshop. Don't let anything hold you back. God has a purpose, a specific purpose. I heard a Christian speaker recently say, I know my purpose in life, and it's to love God. That to me is incomplete. That's the big picture. But what about the more thing that's unique to you, specifically to you? Because church is not just about all of us together, it's about us collectively who are individuals as well. Individually, we contribute. And God wants you to know your purpose. And he's got something in mind. I think the most illegit song that I think I've ever heard in my lifetime is the song, I Did It My Way. Because you can do it that way. You can do it your way. Or you can do it no way and just be shaped by just being moved along, by waking up and whatever moves you. But there's a greater way and a higher way, and that is like this. Jesus said these words. He says in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, my food, or my purpose, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus knew specifically what his mission was. I don't have time to get into that today, but he knew his mission. Do you know your mission? Because when you do, it'll be food to you. I have a friend who's starting a new business. He's already the co-founder of art.com. He's been wildly successful already, but he's starting a new business. And he emailed me the other day, and I looked at it in the morning, and it was like 3:45 a.m. And so I wrote him back, what are you doing up at 3:45 a.m.? He said, now that I've started this new business, I can't sleep. And it's not because I've got problems or anxiety. It's because I'm so energized to give this to God every moment of my life that I only need 2 hours of sleep for the last like 6 months. Now, I'm not prescribing that. I'm not even saying that's healthy. I'm not saying that's good. But what I do want to look at is the positive side of this, is that something is gripping this man's life, and he's able to plow through all the other cacophony of noises and input and Madison Avenue and advertisement and come do this and come do that and go to this party and go here, go there, go everywhere, because that will get you nowhere. When you know your purpose, it becomes food to you, and you get energized to do that. But then the next point of it is you also are focused. So this is our year. And we're going to, Pastor Bruce is going to come up right now. And this is our year to turn to God, to turn to family, to turn to truth. I can't stand what's happened in this world that is denying the realities of truth and truthfulness. This is like something that is the new wave of attack. It's epistemological. It's an epistemological attack on our planet right now. But we can be those that identify with God and His purpose and walk in love, walk in harmony, and actually let this year be a great year for our lives. The calendar, the fact that it's a new year, has no power. There's no power in the calendar. The power is in God. And when we turn to God, He's not distant. I mean, He's not distant. If I stray from God, let's say you're God, Pastor Bruce, and you just walk behind me and I'm straying, I'm walking away, it's like I'm confused and God's so distant, He doesn't really care about me. I mean, He's just not in my life. I've been praying, He's not been answering my prayer for years, and it's just like it never seems to work for me. It works for Hoik, it works for Stephen, it works for this guy, it works for that, but it never works for me. But maybe I'll just turn and see where He is. Oh, there you are. And that's how close He is to you right now. He's not far away.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.